The AI race is on. You need a pit crew, the right team to get into the winner's circle.
Grab AI by the circuits and make it work for you.
Hey, welcome to Wolf's Watch. We're watching AI, and this is part three of our sneak peeks for the executive briefing series that we're doing. I have more information on that in a minute. Hey, just a quick, part three is about teams. The last episode told you we're going to talk about this some more. I'm going to share some experience on teams. And this is for AI now. And this is also based on what's worked in the past with bringing new technologies into companies and particularly into your organization. So right now it's like you're learning some about AI, right? You're doing some practitioner, but mostly focused, not becoming an expert, staying focused on the business stuff, right? Well, here's a best practice that has been a longstanding, time-tested, proven with multiple technologies into organizations. You need two leaders within your organization. One is focused on business. The other is focused on the technology. So you need a technical expert internally, and you need someone that's focused on the business stuff. Now, where I learned this was on I won't mention the company or the product so that I can give you some numbers. It was on a $40 million software conversion / installation for an engineering system. And I was one of the project managers on this. So not for the whole shot, the part of it I was responsible for was about $3.5 million. And that included bringing virtual reality technology and other advanced technologies into that product development. And really it was a full, what we call an ERP system. Now that's a whole topic for another time. What I want to share with you is the way that was organized. Now, a lesson I learned from that was every area had two project managers, business and technical. Because the technologies that I was responsible for were so advanced, the person who was the technical lead for the entire project overall was the technical co-project manager with me, so that we could look at how do we best exploit virtual reality, other simulation technologies, some other breaking technologies that had been, we knew, gotten results, right? This is based on best practices from other areas of that particular company, but also other organizations where they got results. We're going, okay, we need to bring that in. The reason I mentioned this is seen this again and again, where that format works very, very well. You've got someone who is technically savvy, but is primarily focused on business, on the company, operations, structure. How does this fit into overall business strategy and goals? Teamed with someone that is very focused on the technology, where their strength is in the technology. They've got, you know, they understand the business stuff, but their thing is they're really understanding what's going on underneath the hood, so to speak. And they're the ones that are bringing the different options to the table and making recommendations. Go, look, here's the three options, right? Always love the threes. Here's the problem we're trying to solve. Here's the three recommendations. This is the one I think is the best one to go with. They're able to do that from a technical standpoint. Now, here's a second thing that you need to be doing to be successful with staying on top of AI and leveraging it to grab it by the circuits and make it work for you is to have a user group structure within your company. If you've got 15, 50, 250 employees, you need to have a small group relative to the size of your team that's a user group discussing, hey, what's working? What are we seeing? Who's learning what? Who's experimenting with what? Outside the company and bringing it in, right? Because a lot of these folks on their own time are going to be fascinated about this with the technology, right? You've already seen this, and they're coming in excited going, hey, I just learned this new prompt with one of the chatbots. Hey, I just found this new piece of software that lets us do this. And you need to have those people doing that, bringing it in. You need to encourage them to experiment and then give them a framework for guiding that experimentation within the company through the user group. What that does is it allows collaboration. It makes ideas multiply faster. And it gives you and the management team, your leadership team, some control and some framework and context to guide the use of the technology within your company to make sure you're getting advantage of it, that stuff that works is getting spread, things that aren't working, words getting out about that, about why it's not working, and it's either adapted or say, hey, let's set that aside for the moment. But to be able to make those types of business decisions. And then the third thing is training. You need the particularly the user group. So that's your core team to identify for early training within, whether in the company or doing online stuff, but also send them out to industry events, send them out to technology of specific events, whether it's a trade show for the tech or big annual trade show within your industry. When I was in the aerospace industry, there were two major trade associations. One was like the big public, everybody that was involved with anything that flew in the air, whether it's military, commercial, whatever, is all that. And then there's a smaller, more focused group called the Aerospace Industries Association, which had events. They alternated between Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles, California. That was where the power structure really was. Those particular events had what we call a target-rich environment with prospective clients, because they were all top brass from the military, high-level government officials, CEOs, C-suite team, technical leaders within companies. So it was very senior leadership that was at those events. And at one of the trade shows, I was really upset because the company I worked for at the time was a huge company, Fortune 500 company, and they had a 10x10 pop-up, 10x10 booth. And looking across the aisle at the center main display, one of our competitors, they've got this huge display and they're all carpet, plush carpet, and they're all dressed just so, and it's very quiet. It's like walking into the cone of silence when you go into their booth. Everyone's got their power suits on. They're like, oh, yes. All right. Oh, you work for, please step aside. So, this is fun play. They were very serious and they're very good at what they did. So yeah, they had some attitude and some pride about it, but it was earned. And that's just kind of what goes on, the one-upmanship, right? So here you have the salespeople, the front lines people in terms of communication and promotion, PR for the company. They were kind of looking down their noses at us with our tiny little boots and going, all right, fine. So I brought in a demo of one of the virtual reality applications that we had used in product development. When I say we, I mean the company. I wasn't personally involved at that point with that particular project, but it was the first major win that we had within the company in one of the product development groups using virtual reality in the early, early product development stage, right? This was when it was still just on electronic paper. It wasn't even written stuff. It was just in the electronic space that they were able to use virtual reality technology to make a much better design and catch the particular case study caught some errors that we wouldn't have found until the product had been fielded or at least built, and we'd already built the maintenance tooling for it. And that's very, very expensive. You see, it costs $1,000 to $10,000 to fix the problem. Once it's already manufactured, it's $10,000 or more dollars per one, spending $1 in prevention in product early product development like that can cost $10,000, right? So it's 10,000 times more expensive when it's out in the field. So it caught one of those kind of errors. We ran a demo for that. And the fun thing was, here we had ended up having security come in with so many people that wanted to see the demo. And these are all senior industry leaders. We're talking generals, colonels from different military branches, very, very senior government officials going, I've got a flight. It had to set up a velvet rope, which talked to the hotel staff. We had a lot of fun with it. It built allies and whatnot. So we were really having fun with this by the time it got rolling. Ended up with a line of people out the door, drained all the people out of our competitor's display area, which was like, ours was 10 feet by 10 feet. Theirs was like 40 feet by 40 feet in the center of the trade show area, right? So we were having fun with this from our side. And I have senior people, had general full dress uniform, comes up and goes, my flight is leaving. Would it be possible to step ahead? And I look at the line. This is everybody in line. This is their customer or boss, right? So I go, would you mind? And they're just like, oh, yeah, sure. Let him go ahead. Because then it takes a look at the demo of the product. We had fun with it. But this all came about because of that type of structure. That was how I learned the technical part of it and was able to see the business leverage. And then when the opportunity came to arrange to have the supplier that we worked with to bring that technology into the company at the trade show with us. So there's a whole lot of things that lined up, led to that fun story. And then we moved that in other parts of the company. And that was one of the corporate teams I created for taking that technology business unit by business unit into that and other advanced product development technologies at that time. So that's why I say this is where these recommendations come from. Have a technical lead and a business lead, have a user group, and train. Beginning with the user group and then have them identify the training and help with the training that spreads out throughout the company. Make it available to everybody. Start there so you can stay focused. You need to be able to run fast, move, be able to adapt fast, right? because AI tools are changing. The stuff that's coming out right now, the opportunities are changing on a day by day basis in some parts of the AI tools industry, if you will. And you need to stay on top of that. And user group, you need to be meeting with the user group weekly as CEO of your company, showing that leadership that sends the message to them that this is important, that they're important, they're on it, and they have your support. And then this is something the company's serious about. And it also allows you to stay in touch. It doesn't have to be a long meeting, right? It could be 10, 15 minutes in terms of your direct involvement. They need to be meeting at least weekly and communicating daily on what's going on to stay on top of this for the next few months. As you get this integrated into your company, as you can see and start, starts to stabilize a little bit and things are changing a little bit slower, then you slow down the pace. So that's recommendations here. That's sneak peek part two. This is Wolf's Watch. I'm Wolf. Thanks for being part of the conversation. And here's how you can find out more about the executive briefing.
The AI executive summary, CEO to CEO in the language of leadership. What works today? Case examples, hot seat interviews, answering your questions. Do you qualify to participate? Find out today. Click the link below.